The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Julie Eldridge from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'll be reading to you from the Lyons District S newsletter for the month of November of 2024. And as usual, we have limited time, so I have done a little editing and excluded articles that have been in at least two other previous newsletters that might be a little long. So there you have it. Let's start out with the front page of the Lyons Express. 10 Tips to Grow Your Club. From Lyons Club International. When it comes to growing membership in Lyons clubs, who better to offer advice than Lyons themselves? See what members from around the world have to say. Make sure your club is open to accepting new members and the new ideas they bring. That's from Lion Robin Woolmer of British Columbia, Canada. Be enthusiastic when you talk about being a Lion. When you're excited, your enthusiasm will transfer to the person you're talking to. That's from Lion Vicky Doolin of Texas, USA. Invite friends, coworkers, and peers to participate in activities and experience the joy of serving your community firsthand. Side effects include bonding, team building, learning, and having fun. That's from Lion Kristen Gentsch of Berlin, Germany. We do our routine service projects and get the news of those projects published in local newspapers and on social media. That's from Manish Mehta, Jandahar, India. You can never invite enough people or ask them enough times to be a Lion. I've met people who were asked 5 times before they accepted. They joined when they were ready. And that's from Lion Dan O'Reilly of Illinois, USA. A compelling story is our most powerful tool for attracting new members. Incorporate personal stories highlighting the impact of your club's work to connect with potential members and inspire a sense of belonging and purpose. That's from Lion Dipendra Arial of Nalaparazi District, Nepal. Service, service, service. Your club can grow by engaging prospective members through service. That's from Lion Augusto Valera Jr. of California, USA. Celebrating your success is important. Promote the service you provide and the number of people you help. Tell your stories to make your community aware of everything your club does to improve the lives of others. From Lion Len Day of Ontario, Canada. And lastly, we print lots of trifold brochures downloaded from the Lyons International website and tailored to our club that include an application on the back. We bring these to every event and hand them out to all interested parties. From Lyon, Carol Jean Miller Mitchell of Texas, USA. And now, lastly, there are so many people around us who want to join us but may think it's not their thing. It's up to us to inform them that this is our thing. We all have a duty to make a difference in our communities. From Lion Dans Natarinda of Uganda. And sticking with the theme of membership, 6 Tips for Membership Growth by Kristen DiMaggio, Associate Creative Lead of Lion's International Marketing Team. As the needs of the world grow, so too does the need for Lyons. And we're helping meet the growing need of our communities through Mission 1.5, our global initiative to reach 1.5 million members by 2027. It's going to take each and every one of us to get there, but don't worry. We gathered tips from district governors and past district governors whose districts took home the coveted Jesse Robinson Membership Growth Cup. See their advice for jump-starting your membership growth efforts. Plan your strategy and incentivize your members. At the beginning of the year, we planned our annual membership growth goal. From there, we developed our corresponding annual plans and reward systems to reach our goal and recognize clubs with outstanding development. Empowering your members can help motivate their recruitment efforts. That's from District Governor Zha Qiu of District 392 in China. Get the GAT involved. We worked with our GMT and GLT teams to organize online training sessions for members to help them get involved. They focused on how to retain members, member recruitment, which involved cabinet members being given a target to recruit one new member in the given line year, and how to create and utilize monthly reports that showed the number of new members recruited by individual cabinet members, club membership numbers, and the number of members lost. That was from District Governor Sifowe Ndlovu, District 412A, Botswana. Use your resources. Lions International has a great deal of information online to aid in membership growth, including ebooks and brochures. The brochures in particular are useful. We use them in club visits and will be using more in the coming year. That's from District Governor Bill Yelland, District A9 of Ontario, Canada. Tap into the power of marketing. I regularly shared photos and information on my personal Facebook page, as well as our district Facebook account. We sent invitations to personal and professional contacts for important events, such as the 75th anniversary dinner and larger fundraisers. I also included material on the Lions Australia website and submitted articles to local newspapers on a regular basis, which were all published. As district governor, I was even interviewed on local radio several times. All of the above needs to be done consistently and often. That's from past district governor Vin Wen Pang of District 201N5, Australia. Reach out to younger prospective members. There is an ongoing need to recruit younger members who will be the next generation of the organization, so we focused on inviting younger members. They will inject new blood into their clubs and encourage veteran Lions to serve in new, exciting ways. That's from District Governor Edna Alter, District 128, Israel. Be an ambassador for your club. The old motto of just ask is a sure method to get people interested. Wear your Lion gear to all your activities and encourage your members to challenge themselves to recruit. It is a proven fact that when you are serving the community, there will be interested people nearby. Make sure your Facebook page and website are up to date and tell people what you're doing in the community. From past District Governor Larry Irwin of District A9, Ontario, Canada. The Jesse Robinson Membership Growth Cup is a prestigious award given to each constitutional area's top district team with the largest membership growth. Find out how your district can take home this honor, all while helping us reach our Mission 1.5 goal. Message from LCIF by Dr. Patty Hill, chairperson of the Lions Club's International Foundation. Dear Lions and Leos, I am always filled with pride when I witness or hear stories of Lions and Leos serving our communities, providing support for people who need our help during everyday life or under extraordinary circumstances. In this month's newsletter, you will find examples of both. Following natural disasters in communities across the globe, Lions and Leos are the first to respond. When communities need support for programs that help youth facing diabetes, we provide solutions. Wherever there is a need, there is a Lion or Leo empowered by LCIF. Our global foundation enables us to expand our humanitarian service, respond quickly when necessary, and develop innovative projects with lasting impact. Your donations to our foundation make so much of this service possible. Thank you for your continuing dedication and support and sharing with others what change we create in the world together through our gifts. Here's an update from NC Lions President by Lion John Lind. At a recent club meeting, our guest speaker was NC Lions President PDG Lion Wayne Faber, who is also a member of the Apex Lions Club. He shared some updates about the efforts in Western North Carolina. Camp Dogwood has become a hub for storing supplies, and Tammy McLean has done a phenomenal job of coordinating this effort. Tractor trailers from many places, including other states, have dropped off supplies to help those in need. There are still some places that cannot be reached by vehicles because roads are still washed away. This recovery will take a very long time. Current needs as winter approaches are for kerosene heaters and generators. More lists will be sent as the needs change. Many thanks to everyone who has supported so far, and please continue as you can. District 31L is, or was, the most devastated by the hurricane, and they will need to focus primarily on their recovery. The other districts will be asked not only to support District 31L, but also to do their best to make up the difference in the district governor's goals so we can continue to provide the same level of service to the blind and visually impaired that we have in the past. This is going to be a challenging year, but we can do this. Finally, he shared a video about Camp Dogwood, which is a nice documentary about the camp and the services offered. Please take a few minutes to watch it to learn more. And there's a long YouTube address, which I won't try to share here. Expanding Camp Sweet Life, the Type 1 Diabetes Camp for Youth, by Shelley Washington, Content Specialist at Lions Clubs International Foundation. Surrounded by beautiful trees and a glimmering lake, Camp Sweet Life's idyllic location in southern Minnesota echoes the message of empowerment its counselors offer students with type 1 diabetes. Living with diabetes as a child can be challenging. It requires constant monitoring and a level of responsibility that may feel overwhelming for someone so young. Past District Governor Anna Wickenhauser says, "I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at 15 and I thought my world was over." Camp Sweet Life is a 5-day, 4-night type 1 diabetes camp for youth aged 8 to 15, with a day camp option for children aged 5 to 7. The goal of the accredited medical diabetes camp is to transform the lives of children living with type 1 diabetes and their families by providing fun opportunities for learning and connecting. It includes breaks for snacks, nutrition education, blood glucose checks, insulin management, and networking opportunities for children with type 1 diabetes. PDG Wickenhauser says, "I believe in this program because it helps kids learn to take care of themselves and gives them a sense of responsibility." The camp was established in 2010, and within a decade, it had outgrown its facilities as the number of campers increased by 311%. With a new location in 2019, Camp Sweet Life could increase its reach and improve the quality and range of support, services, and education it offered campers and their families. As camp enrollment and interest continued to rise, additional staff were added, and the counselor and counselor-in-training program was extended. Lions of District 5M2 recognized the significance of supporting the expansion and enhancement of the camp, so they decided to apply for a grant. In 2019, Lions Clubs International Foundation awarded Lions a diabetes grant for $37,500 to enhance Camp Sweet Life. The LCIF grant funded medical supplies, counselor training, and programmatic expenses. Timothy Emmers, president of Camp Sweet Life, says, "The LCIF grant was phenomenal. The way we have expanded wouldn't have been possible without LCIF." Additionally, Lions volunteered with setup, registration, and other activities throughout the camp. More campers are now able to participate in educational experiences about diabetes and its monitoring and medication, as well as diabetes management, including diet and daily physical activity relevant to their age group. Beyond learning opportunities, they are given the chance to socialize and build a peer support network through attendance at the camp. Timothy has two daughters with type 1 diabetes, and he says, "One of my daughters still keeps in touch with her Camp Sweet Life friends throughout the course of the year." Camp activities include campfires, water activities, arts and crafts, archery, dance, nature exploration, group games, and STEM activities. A staff member raved about the camp, saying, "Watching kids grow in confidence is awesome. It is amazing to see them making new friends and sharing with each other about diabetes." LCIF diabetes grants support diabetes youth camps and retreats, diabetes screening activities with comprehensive follow-up care plans, infrastructure and equipment acquisition for existing diabetes care facilities, and training of professionals and community diabetes educators. Learn more about our diabetes grants. And there's some lovely photos of kids in their engaging in some community things. It looks like some arts and crafts and some meals, and it looks like they're all enjoying themselves together. Visually impaired support group invitation. The First Flight Lions Club will be hosting a visually impaired support group meeting on December 19th, 2024 at 2 p.m. at the First Flight Lions Club at 2706 North Croatan Highway, Killdevil Hills, North Carolina. The meeting will be facilitated by Lion Angelo Sinesso, president at the First Flight Lions Club, and Summer Sink, social worker for the blind. For questions, contact Lion Angelo Sinesso at 252-202-1190 or Summer Sink at 252-475-5848. KidSight expands to Mexico to reach over 150,000 children, by Shelby Washington, content specialist of the Lions Clubs International Foundation. Lions across the world have addressed preventable and treatable vision loss through bold and initiative inventions for 100 years. Bold and innovative interventions for 100 years, believing they could save sight and improve lives for people of all ages. KidSight emerged from this initial belief, bringing Lions Clubs together to ensure children receive eye screenings and the care they need to protect their vision. According to the World Health Organization, or WHO, about 17% of school-aged children worldwide have vision problems, including issues such as refractive errors like farsightedness. Since early detection is crucial to prevent lifelong vision problems, KidSight has tenaciously expanded to save children's sight. Without many comprehensive vision programs in Mexico to identify and treat vision problems in children early enough to prevent prolonged issues, KidSight's expansion there was a natural next step. The Lions of District B7 wanted to help ensure children have access to proper vision care and were eager to begin a KidSight program locally. Lion Dr. Angel Sosa says, "I was motivated to get involved with this project when I discovered the importance of preventing childhood blindness. It struck me that in my country, few health institutions offered this type of screening, leaving children with few opportunities to prevent various vision diseases." They utilized a 45,346 dollar matching grant from Lions Clubs International Foundation and raised $15,116 from Cordoba, Poza Rica, Dejandro Huelo, and Alamo Lions Clubs to acquire 10 spot vision screeners and 10 printers. With this equipment, they initiated a KidSight campaign to screen children aged 4 to 14 for vision issues and provide referrals for necessary follow-up care. Thanks to this campaign, 10 Lions Clubs in the district are now able to conduct screenings in approximately 7,449 schools across Veracruz, Mexico. The Lions plan to screen a total of 800 children twice a week, with a focus on screening 153,600 children in low-income communities. Guardians are encouraged to participate in the screening. If a problem is detected, the child will be referred to a vision care provider. Both family members and doctors expressed that this project has been immensely helpful, says Lion Dr. Sosa. "Before, it was very difficult to catch visual problems in children early, and by the time they were diagnosed, it was often too late for effective treatment. If the family is unable to pay for follow-up care, the hosting Lions Club will offer support for glasses or treatment costs." The Lions have partnered with Vision Toledo and Lidaram and ophthalmology institutions in Veracruz, Mexico, to provide free vision-related services to at-risk communities since 2018. These partnerships include technical support, training, and involvement from ophthalmologists experienced in KidSight projects in Argentina and Colombia. Dr. Sosa highlighted the project's lasting impact, stating, "Lion KidSight Mexico is here to stay and help thousands of children, giving them hope for a better quality of life." Apex Lions Celebrate Anniversary by Lion John Lind. In some ways, this anniversary banquet was a little different from recent years. This was the first year we did not have our food booth at the state fair. Lion Horace Johnson was our master of ceremonies once again. He started off by informing our members that sales were way down this year, which made everybody laugh. Even though we did not have our food booth, some of our members still managed to find ways to volunteer at the fair. A few months ago, the Raleigh JCs reached out and asked if we would be interested in helping them staff their turkey shoot booth. Several of our members stepped up and did just that. Our motto is, "We serve." After that, he shared some history about our club for the guests and some of our newer members. Our club is now 87 years old. We were founded in 1937. The first ever anniversary banquet was held in the Apex High School cafeteria, the original one. In 1960, our booth at the state fair was quite different. The floors were still sawdust, and we were in the smaller location. The proceeds that year were $1,045, and the club members were thrilled with that. Finally, the banquet is when we take time to recognize some of the members of our club who have served well. The first set of awards were the Sid L. Scruggs III Beacon of Hope Awards. This year's recipients were Lions Kevin Conroy, John Lind, and Richard Hall. The next award presented was a Melvin Jones Fellowship, and it was received by Lion Carl Cromwell. Carl was instrumental in helping our club create the Apex Lions Charitable Fund several years ago. Our final award was the William Jennings Booth Lion of the Year. This award goes to a Lion who has gone above and beyond in their service for the club and the community of Apex. It is tradition that the previous year's recipient presents it to the new recipient. We are all looking forward to another great year of Lionism and service. And there's some pictures of people receiving their plaques and their recognition over their wonderful acts of service. And to fill in a little information, there is a picture of Lion Caroline Renault, who was the recipient of this year's William Jennings Booth Lion of the Year Award. Here's a page of information on the 107th Lions International Convention, which will be in Orlando in the year 2025. And the convention schedule goes something like this. Sunday, July 13th to Thursday, July 17th of 2025, it will be in the Orange County Convention Center. And starting Saturday the 12th, there will be a parade office open. And then Sunday, July 13th, the registration opens at 8 a.m. and the parade office opens, and the exhibit hall opens at 10 on the 13th. On the 14th, which is a Monday, registration is open from 9 to 5. The Parade of Nations and the exhibit hall, as well as the Parade of Nations, the exhibit hall is open from 10 to 5, and there's a business session. Present the candidates for international director from 3 to 4, and then an international show from 6 to 10. Okay, Tuesday, July 17th. Registration, again, is open from 9 to 5, and at 9:30, there will be an open plenary session, presidential address, flag ceremony, and nominations for third vice president. The exhibit hall will be open from 10 to 5. There will be elections from 12 to 5, the Melvin Jones Fellowship Luncheon from 12:30 to 2:30, and seminars from 1:15 to 5. On Wednesday, July 16th, 9 to 5, registration is open. 9:30 to 12 will be a second plenary session, memorial service, LCIF session, and a keynote speaker. And again, the exhibit hall will be open 10 to 5, elections from 10 to 5, seminars from 1:15 to 5. And from 8 to 10, past international presidents, past international directors, district governors, and past district governors banquet. and the last day of the convention, Thursday, July 17th. Registration will be open from 7:30 to 9:30 a.m., and the closing plenary session will be from 9:30 to noon. The installation of 2025-2026 International President and District Governors. And then from 7 to 11, the international officers will have a meet and greet. Breaking Barriers, a Paralympic Journey, from Leader Dogs for the Blind, the November 2024 issue. The 2024 Paralympic Games were exciting. Among the more than 4,400 athletes competing, Leader Dog client Joan Munar Martinez took home a bronze medal in the long jump. Joan's path to the Paralympic Games began unexpectedly. After only two seasons of athletics, I qualified for the 2012 London Paralympic Games, he recalls. At 16, I was the youngest Spanish athlete. This early success was just the beginning of a remarkable journey leading him to the bronze medal in Paris. But every athlete has their challenges. I had quite a few problems with my jumping knee, Joan shares. I had to do a lot of work to strengthen the muscles in that leg and endured weeks of training with quite a lot of pain. The road to Paris was paved with intense preparation. I was training 6 days a week and competing all over Europe, looking for that mark to qualify for the Games, Martinez explains. As the Paris Games approached, the bond between the athlete and his leader dog, Caden, proved invaluable. Being with Caden everywhere is fantastic, Joan says. His work is impeccable and always gives me extra freedom to disconnect on my own before important competitions without depending on anyone. On the day of the competition, leader dog Caden watched from the stands with Martinez's family. When Joan clinched the bronze medal, the emotion was overwhelming. What I felt was a brutal emotion, and I assure you that I had never cried so much, he confesses. It came to my mind that all the hours dedicated to pursuing this dream had been worth it. The celebration that followed was enhanced by leader dog Caden's reaction. After the competition, I approached the stands very excited to greet all my family and friends who had come, Martinez remembers. And when Caden saw me, he threw himself towards me and kept giving me kisses as if we had not seen each other for 2 years and only 6 hours had passed. Reflecting on his journey, Martinez is filled with gratitude. Leader Dog has made me a completely independent person, he states. I knew that my life would change after going there, but I did not imagine it would change in such a wonderful way. And there are some photos of the of Joan. And it's spelled J-O-A-N in this article, so I'm saying Joan. It might be pronounced some other way. But there's some photos of him landing in the sand and the long jump and posing in front of the Olympic logo and other things. 2025 Camp Dogwood Applications by Lion Tammy McLean, the camp director at Camp Dogwood for the Blind. Hello, Lion. We need you. Hopefully, you are already considering volunteering at Camp Dogwood next summer. Volunteering for a weekly session to work with blind and visually impaired individuals is a rewarding experience. You have the opportunity to make a significant impact on the lives of each blind and visually impaired camper. If you are service-driven and enjoy helping others, then volunteering at camp will be an experience that you cannot miss out on. Come witness what Camp Dogwood is all about and how important it is to the individuals we serve. The 2025 Camp Dogwood summer camper season will serve up to 60 to 80 campers per week. To accomplish this, we need approximately 10 volunteers each week. Meals and lodging are provided at no charge to volunteers. Wireless internet is available if you'd like to bring your laptop. This is a one-week commitment. We request that all volunteers arrive by 1 p.m. on Sunday to assist with check-in and depart after campers leave the following Thursday. You are welcome to arrive on Saturday, the day before your weekly session. If you choose to arrive on Saturday, please notify the camp office. There will be a volunteer orientation meeting at 3 p.m. on Sunday, the day of your arrival. If you need additional information on applications, please contact us. We are happy to mail applications out, but they are also available on our website at www.nclionscampdogwood.org. Once your application has been approved and your week assigned, a confirmation email will be sent or mailed to you. You are encouraged to bring your spouse or a friend who is a Lion that will volunteer with you. If you cannot volunteer this summer, please help us by passing this application on to someone who can. Please read all the application documents carefully, including the standards of conduct policy. Please return the application as soon as possible. Feel free to contact me with any questions. We look forward to having you at Camp Dogwood. And Tammy McLean's contact information is Tammy, with a Y, T-A-M-M-Y, at nclf.org. Or phone 828-478-2135, extension 229. Camp Dogwood Open Donation. Camp Dogwood is looking for clubs and individuals to help us make room improvements. Our goal is to replace each of our 54 guest room showers with walk-ins to ensure ease of access for the ones we serve. With a donation of $10,000, we will be able to credit those clubs and individuals with a plaque to say thank you for the generous donation. For more information, please contact April at 828-478-2135 or email April at nclf.org. Apex Lions, Supporting Western North Carolina, by Lion John Lind. In early October, we received a visit from Monica Faherty, secretary of the Lake Lure Lions Club. She was in Apex because her home at Lake Lure was without power. We knew in advance that she was planning to join us, so we sent out a notice to our membership to collect items for her to take back with her when she returned. Not only did our members respond with a carload full of items, our board of directors had an impromptu meeting that night and approved two monetary donations, a donation directly to the Lake Lure Lions Club because we knew that they would be able to help in a very direct and immediate way, and a donation to the District 31S Fund, which was being used to help the victims of Hurricane Helene in a broader way. Monica sent some photos of the items donated, as well as what the funds were used to purchase. We are so proud to have been able to assist in this meaningful and impactful way, and we are so thankful for your support over the years to enable this to be possible. And they've got a few photos of the massive amount of donated supplies. Looks like water and cleaning supplies and snacks and personal hygiene items. Here's an article by Lion John Lind. We got a call from the Cary Lions with an opportunity. They received late notice that the Wake County government was organizing an event called Western Region Community Resource Day on Saturday, November 16, 2024. In previous years, the Cary Lions performed free vision screenings using a borrowed screener. This year, they were unable to find volunteers or acquire the camera in time, so they reached out to the Apex Lions Club for assistance. Thankfully, we were able to find enough volunteers and react quickly to help. The joint team of Apex and Cary Lions managed to perform a total of 50 vision screenings at the event. We scanned children as well as adults and made several referrals. And then there's a nice picture of all the happy volunteers. Lions Carolyn Renault, Ed Burt, Kevin Conroy, Lisa Montoya, John Lind, and Robert Montoya. A couple of small blurbs here. Due to a significant increase in requests for and redemptions of VSP Vision Eyes of Hope gift certificates, VSP will not be accepting new requests for certificates until further notice. Applications for the 2025 Camp Dogwood camper season are now available at https://nclionscampdogwood.org/application-fees-schedule. In memory of Robert Chip W. Pierce, December 20th, 1947 to November 4th, 2024. Robert Chip W. Pierce, 76, passed away peacefully, surrounded by family in Apex, North Carolina, after a short battle with an aggressive cancer. Born in 1947 on a snowy night in Oswego, New York, he resembled his father so much that the nurses claimed he was a chip off the old block, and he has been known as Chip ever since. Son of Horace, or Will, W. Pierce, and Anita Pierce, both predeceased Chip, with Anita passing away in May of 2024 at the age of 100. Chip's beloved brother, David J. Pierce, also awaits him in heaven. He graduated from St. Paul's Academy in 1961 and went on to attend Oswego's Catholic High School, graduating in 1965. Chip attended Niagara University and earned his B.S. in 1969. Soon after college graduation, he married the love of his life, Baiba Pierce, longtime Oswego, New York resident, now of Apex, North Carolina. Chip began his career in education, teaching at G. Ray Bodley High School in Fulton, New York. In 1974, he transitioned into the office equipment business with Usherwood Business Equipment, where his success led him to then join the insurance agency of his father, Will Pierce, at the Northwestern Mutual Life Agency in Oswego. He continued his career in insurance and spent 10-plus years at Utica National Life Insurance, leaving as assistant vice president. Later in life, Chip returned to teaching math at North Rose Walcott, from where he retired. His colleagues and students at North Rose were a joy in his life, and many became wonderful friends. Retirement brought Chip south to settle near his daughter and son and their families in Apex, North Carolina. He was blessed to be able to find outlets in the local community to express his creative side, working with the Peak City Singers and the Haley Cultural Arts Center. The southern temperatures also allowed Chip to enjoy many seasons of golf with the Tar Heel Senior Golf League. Chip loved to sing and bring that joy to the local senior living facilities in Apex through his senior sing-along karaoke, visiting different locations weekly, singing the classics they all enjoyed. In retirement, Chip and Baiba always enjoyed their trips to visit friends up and down the East Coast and cherished their annual return visits to Oswego. Chip is survived by his beautiful wife of 55 years, Baiba Pierce, daughter Marnie Jones, son Andrew Pierce, and grandchildren Lexa and Brady Jones, and Ari Pierce, all of whom reside in Apex, North Carolina. He also leaves behind nieces Kristen Bell, Ashley Pierce, and nephew Joshua Pierce, as well as many Hoffer cousins throughout Connecticut. Family and friends will celebrate Chip's life in the spring of 2025. Bus Drivers Needed for Summer 2025 Camp Season by Tammy McLean, Camp Director of Camp Dogwood. Fellow Lions, we are in the process of planning for Summer Camp 2025. The past few years, we have not been able to offer field trips to our summer campers. The primary reason is that we must have someone able to drive our bus each week. What we would like to do is have two Lion volunteers commit to each camp session. This way, we will not fall short. What is offered to session one must be offered to each session. We cannot offer some field trips and not others. In order to volunteer, you'll be asked to pass a background check. This is required by our insurance and is at no cost to the volunteer. You must hold a valid driver's license with no reports for 3 years. A copy of your valid driver's license must be provided. You must participate and complete a short online training video on sexual abuse and any other training videos required by insurance. These are at no cost to the volunteer. You will be expected to attend your assigned session if you volunteer. You must be able to operate and park a 15-passenger bus in various types of traffic. If you're interested or have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me. We must have volunteers in place in order to start planning field trips in January. Thanks for all you do. I look forward to hearing and speaking with you soon. In memory of Horace Paul Gilgo, January 10, 1932 to September 21, 2024. Horace Paul Gilgo, known to most as Paul, other than his sisters who called him Horace, died in his home on September 21, 2024, at the age of 92. He was one of 11 children born to William Thomas and Lucy Beecham Gilgo. He lived briefly on Portsmouth Island, North Carolina, and then moved to Oriental, North Carolina, where some family members, including his surviving brother Jack, remain today. Paul was a gifted man in many ways. He was a part of a championship basketball team at Oriental High School. He went on to join the U.S. Navy, serving during the Korean War. He attended NC State University and Gaston Technical Community College, leading to a long and accomplished career as a mechanical engineer with Haynes Corporation. Paul and Faye Hayes Gilgo were married on April 4, 1959, in Raleigh, North Carolina. Paul and Faye were married for 58-plus years before her death in February of 2018. They had two children, Vicky and Paul. Paul died in December 2004, leaving us heartbroken. Paul was a man of intense faith and was devoted to his family and his community. He was a member of the Walkertown Lions Club, serving his local, district, and state organization. He was a member of the Forsyth Masonic Lodge, number 707, serving in many capacities at a local, district, and state level. He served his family, friends, neighbors, and strangers with his knowledge, handiwork, skill, and much more. He would also tell you he knew everything. The best way was his way, and he could fix anything. He was not far from wrong, despite it drove us all a bit crazy. Despite being diagnosed with interstitial lung disease over 4 years ago, he remained strong, independent, and more positive than anyone we've known, which is likely why he outlived his doctor's projections by more than 3 years. His faith in God also fueled his positive attitude, and he was able to share that faith with many who surrounded him throughout the years. He is survived by his daughter Vicky and husband Ron, grandson Nick, wife Kim and great-grandchildren Heidi and Tucker, daughter-in-law Kelly and her husband Michael, and grandchildren Drew, Grace, and Evan. He is also survived by many nieces, nephews, and cousins whom he adored. Paul's family wishes to thank everyone who supported him during these past 2 years. The home care team from Always Best Care, Trellis Supportive Care, his neighbors, and friends. He could not have remained in his home without all of you. To honor Paul's wonderful life, you may make a donation to Trellis Supportive Care, the Masonic Home for Children at Oxford, or Friends of Portsmouth Island. A celebration of Paul's life was held at Pine Grove Methodist Church at 1018 Piney Grove Road in Kernersville on Thursday, October 3rd. Here's a notice about a craft bazaar. Save the date. Camp Dogwood Christmas Craft Bazaar. Save the date. Camp Dogwood will be hosting a Christmas craft bazaar on December 7th, 2024. Camp Dogwood is located at 7062 Camp Dogwood Drive, Sherrill's Ford, North Carolina. More details to come, or call Camp Dogwood for more information at 828-478-2135. Gay was the wife of NCLF past president Jim Irvin, 1998 to 1999. Gay Hartzell Irvin, age 92, passed away on Wednesday, November 6, 2024. Gay H. Irvin was born October 13, 1932, in rural Cabarrus County, North Carolina. Her parents were H. J. Hartzell and Delette Black Hartzell, who were hardworking farmers during the Great Depression. She was one of seven siblings with three brothers and three sisters. Growing up, she had a life of hard work in the fields, being self-sufficient farmers. She also had a great deal of adventure, exploring the woods, swimming in the creek, and playing with her siblings. She was known for her gentle spirit and her strong opinions. Her family also valued church and education. She attended Bethel Methodist Church and made a commitment to Christ as a teenager. She was a lifelong Christian whose life was marked by gentleness, especially toward the least of these, particularly small children. She completed high school at Bethel High School, where she was active in academics, cheerleading, drama, and was also the May Queen. She completed 1 year of college and then worked at Columbia Pictures in Charlotte to help support her family. In 1954, she married James M. Irvin, who was then a junior at UNCCH, and moved to Chapel Hill. After he graduated, she and Jim had a wonderful adventure, as he had several jobs, including 2 years of active duty in the U.S. Army, and other jobs in education, job training, and services for the blind. He worked in both private and government jobs until his retirement. Gaze was devoted to the raising of her two children, Steve and Julie. She taught them how to be kind, to tell the truth, and the value of education. Kettle Crowd Savors Soup, Soap, and Salvation by Lion John Michener. Edenton Lions gathered Monday evening, September 23, 2024, at the Baptist Vatican on South Granville Street. While Hurricane Helene stirred about near the Florida Panhandle, eastern North Carolina's weather was good. 23 Lions attended that night. Commendable. Salvation Army Officer Major Jason Hughes was our presenter. Major Angela Hughes, his significant other, was unable to attend. Together, two majors lead this district. Each is a college graduate, officer, and a musician. He relishes the tuba, and she the trumpet, so we hear. Angela handles accounting and programming. Jason is the minister for the Salvation Army Church and public relations person for the district. Angela has roots in Tidewater, Virginia, while Jason's 1980 origins are in Charleston, South Carolina. Major Jason Hughes began by thanking the Edenton Lions for decades of support. Lion Bill Hicks noted that Edenton Lions have helped the Salvation Army for the past 40 years. Over the last 19 years, monies totaling more than $100,000 have been given. The Salvation Army resources help folk with rent, food, basic health needs, and disaster relief. The Salvation Army tries to meet three needs: soup, soap, and salvation. During the holiday seasons, the need for food boxes or gift cards rises sharply. The Cold Night Stay program started 2 years ago in Elizabeth City and helps homeless folk when outside temperatures fall below 40 degrees. Once informed of a need, the sheriff's office checks the sex offender registry and reviews active search warrants. No problem means a clean, warm pillow for the evening in private or governmental headquarters. Salvation Army Major Jason Hughes noted that food boxes are given to schools. At Thanksgiving and Christmas, dinners are provided for needy families. Donations for a specific use are deposited in the Salvation Army headquarters and used only for a designated purpose. After a quiet moment, this pride of Lions spoke. One Lion remembered what a few years ago the Salvation Army provided new aprons with white letters on a blue background, certifying each solicitor as a Lion's bell ringer. A winter fire burning a home to the ground is central to another shared memory. No one was hurt. Against great odds, the Kettle Crowd found a vacant dwelling with a roof, which did not leak. The Salvation Army paid the rent. A student aged 14 has dry homework to turn in, earns good grades, and has a future. Parents are happy. Annually, this student gives back. Major Hughes was overjoyed by these stories of the Kettle Crowd doing the most good. Stay tuned for his tuba concert. And here are a couple of pages of information about the International Association of Lions Clubs District 31 N and S Midwinter Convention, which will be held January 17th and 18th of 2025 at the Holiday Inn, 203 Southwest Greenville Boulevard in Greenville, North Carolina. The form I'm looking at now is a club recognition / ad form. Help support a Lions tradition. And here are the ads and prices. Ad prices: full page, $100. Half page, $70. Quarter page, $50. Eighth page, $35. Front inside cover, $150. Back inside cover, $150. And back cover, $200. And if you would like to have an ad in the program for the International Association of Lions Clubs Midwinter Convention, email your ad copy to PDG Carlton Metz at carltonvmetz@gmail.com or call 252-259-4140. Need help with design ideas? Contact PDG Carlton Metz. You can make a check payable to District's 31 NNS Midwinter Convention and send the check in a form, this form that I'm holding, to Lion Ann Metz at 2001 Williamson Drive, New Bern, North Carolina, 28562. The ad deadline is December 28th of 2024. And here is a form for the convention registration. The Friday activities, January 17th at 6:30, will be a fun night. Backyard cookout with baked beans, potato salad, slaw, and all the trimmings buffet. The cost for that is $30. On Saturday the 18th at 7:30 a.m., the Tail Twisters Classic Breakfast Buffet. That's a $25 cost. On Saturday, January 18th at noon, the lunch will be soup and a deli sandwich buffet, and that's a $25 cost. And on Saturday, January 18th at 6:30 p.m. will be the District Governor's Banquet, a plated herb roasted chicken dinner, and that cost is $40. And for each of these costs, if you register after December 20th, it will be $3 more. And so this registration form has how many will be attending for each of these meals. And the meal registration deadline is January 6th of 2025. And you can make your check payable to District's 31 NNS Lions Midwinter Convention, or you can use a credit card and mail it to Lion Joel Lind, 1003 River D Court of Apex, North Carolina, 27502. On her phone, Joel Lind's phone is 919-219-1724. For hotel information, call the Holiday Inn at 203 Southwest Greenville Boulevard in Greenville, North Carolina. Their phone is 252-355-8300 to make a reservation by December 19th of 2024. The room rate is $104 plus tax for a queen or king bed. And in bold and followed by lots of exclamation points, it says, "Call early." I'm hoping I can squeeze in one more article before my time runs out. 2025 Lions Day at the United Nations. Join Lions Clubs International to discuss how Lions and Leos are working together with the United Nations to chart a new path forward for the future of service. Secure your spot today at these unforgettable events as we celebrate our global service and lasting partnership with the United Nations. Lions International will celebrate 79 years of partnership with the United Nations during Lions Day with the United Nations, or LDUN. This event commemorates our long-standing relationship as a consultative NGO to the UN dating back to 1945, when Lion leaders were asked to help develop the NGO charter for the UN. Celebrate Lions International, over 75-year relationship with the United Nations. When you attend LDUN, you will hear influential leaders from around the world, learn about key global issues and how Lions and Leos are working to address them, be part of the conversations and the collaboration that are driving real change around the world. Join Lions, Leos, UN diplomats, dignitaries, and other guests in the global conversation about this year's theme, the future of service. Explore the United Nations headquarters, where you can take a guided tour, view exhibits, and visit the bookstore and gift shop. Experience all that New York has to offer, including world-class restaurants, museums, hotels, sightseeing, and more. Network with Lions, Leos, and officials from the United Nations. Learn about recent developments in our UN partnership and how you can take action. Registration is required to attend the meeting at the United Nations. The registration fee collected will cover the cost of attendee giveaways, including a Lions International Padfolio pen, commemorative event pen, presidential pen, and printed souvenir pen. There is no registration fee associated with attending the meeting at the United Nations. The deadline to register is Friday, March 7th of 2025. No exceptions will be made after this date. So here's the pricing. The Lion LDUN program is $50. The Leo LDUN program, $30. Non-Lion guest LDUN program, $50. Lion celebration reception is $60. And Leo celebration reception, $15. Please note that this event and supporting materials will be offered in English only. Attire is business or business casual. Lunch is not included in the program. Early registration materials pick up on March 20th of 2025 will be from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. Last call registration materials pick up on March 21st of 2025 will be from 7 to 9 a.m. The LDUN program will be from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. The LDUN Lion Celebration and LDUN Leo Celebration reception will be from 4 to 5 p.m. on March 21st, 2025. The Westin New York Grand Central at 212 East 42nd Street, New York, New York, is the headquarters hotel for LDUN. A special hotel rate is being offered to Lions, but limited rooms are available. After February 14, 2025, the special hotel rate may not be available, and all reservations will need to be made by contacting the hotel directly at 212-490-8900. Take a guided journey through the corridors of the iconic building where international diplomacy happens. You'll learn about the history and work of the United Nations and visit the famous General Assembly Hall and Security Council chambers, meetings permitting. To receive the 10% discounted price offered to LDUN program attendees, select the adult ticket option and enter the coupon code 10LDUN2025. The coupon code is valid from February 21st, 2025 to March 21st, 2025 for English language adult public tours only. There are additional discounts available for students, seniors, and children. If you have any questions or need additional information, please contact us at ldun@lionsclubs.org or visit the event website for more information or to register. And that's all the time I have to squeeze in some newsletters, so we've run out of time for today's episode. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Julie Eldridge, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. The Lion newsletter is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And we thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.